make a big noise playing in the street, gonna be a big man someday.
What are you waiting for? You like the song?
I do enjoy this song. Hi, everybody. Bill and Wendy. I'm guessing Jasmine chose this because of the news that came out yesterday that the Academy Awards presentation, hostless this year, will open with the remaining members of Queen, not Freddie Mercury, for sad reasons.
Covered in goosebumps.
But Adam Lambert filling in as lead singer in place of...
What are you laughing at me for?
I'm not laughing at you, and I'm not laughing at it. Really, I was moving here. I did like the movie a lot.
Yeah.
And after I watched the movie, I watched the real Live Aid performance on YouTube, which is phenomenal.
Yeah.
But there's something kind of funny about their... The movie really was about Freddie Mercury.
Yes.
And so Queen's coming back to play, and the only person not there is going to be Freddie Mercury.
Right. But you can't tell his story without the other guys
Queen.
Right. And Brian May was behind this.
Sure, I understand all that, but I mean, it's just a kind of...
It's ironic and
absurd
and sad, you know, that he can't be there for this.
Can I tell you, Brian May is like the nicest guy in all of rock and roll.
Is he really? Yeah.
He's sweet and charming and very talented. And John Williams is hanging out in the producer's booth. And he didn't like
the movie. He's not a fan of the movies.
I know Nick DiGilio absolutely hated it.
Right.
I loved it.
Yeah.
I liked it better than A Star Is Born.
But it doesn't... Here's what is interesting about that is that two people, you and John, you know, you're of like mind on many things, but you can watch the same exact 2 hours of footage of film and have such differing opinions about it, you know?
Why does he walk away? I just gave him a little introduction. There he is.
He's coming
Thank
in.
You, John.
Hi, John.
I thought you left us.
John,
what's wrong with you?
Describe your dislike for this movie.
I got to stop doing this.
You're fine.
You know, it's a fine little movie.
You just don't think it's the best movie or among the best.
It's not one of the best eight.
Right.
And it's real airbrushed. And it's, like I said, it's a fine movie. But I, like you, liked Queen.
Mm-hmm.
And I was hoping for more.
Mm-hmm.
What more would you have wanted?
You know, I don't want to sound like a movie critic because I kind of hate it when they talk this way. But more fleshed out characters. It didn't feel real. There are some cliche scenes in there that are so typical that if they... you almost wonder, did this really happen? Or are you just putting it in there to make it sound like a band movie?
Yeah.
Stuff like that.
But you almost know when you see... because this is a story that's been told before and will be told again of the million-to-one-shot band that could never in a million years make it, and guess what? They made it.
Yeah.
And I think you're going to see... you know, there's an Elton John movie being finished right now that'll come out soon. It's almost going to be the same story. Is people are going to say, "Elton, who wants to see that? That's not going to work." Oh, guess what? It worked. It's like superhero movies. They're always reluctant to go and fight crime.
So 1 to 10, where were you on the movie?
I give about a 7.5 or 8.
What were you?
9.2.
Wow, really?
I just loved it. I kind of agree with you. Movie of the year? I don't know. But just a tremendous movie. I don't know how you could not like it.
Yeah, I know. I'm getting some of that. Producer Elif is ready to divorce me.
I listened to Elif's review of that as well. And
she cried during the
movie. So did I. I cried
when?
ten seconds
when they took your money or at some point in the film?
10 seconds in, I heard Somebody to Love, and that just brought tears out in me.
But both Wendy and I were like that with Star Is Born. Everybody was saying, like, the minute it came out, people were going, this is for the generations. This is a story that is just so, and I liked it.
Lou Manfredini came to our house, put us in the car, drove us to go see A Star Is Born.
He said,
you must watch this movie right now.
Yeah.
And
wow.
Did you like that better?
Yeah.
Really? You liked that better than...
I like Star Is Born is better.
It didn't move me like I expected.
I didn't give it a 9 either. Star Is Born. Yeah, I was underwhelmed. I'll tell you what, I just watched Free Solo, the documentary about the guy that climbs El Capitan.
I've heard everyone I know who has seen it has just gone on and on and on about
how great
it is.
He climbs what?
El Capitan. It's a
slab of granite. Just with his hands. That's it.
He just, without a rope, climbs up the face of a cliff 2,000 feet. It's pretty amazing. It's a documentary.
Wow.
Two of my friends saw it in an IMAX theater and said that this sounds like a cliche, but they were holding onto their chair. It was so dizzying.
There are moments where your stomach goes, whoa.
Yeah.
And halfway to the mountain, their bus breaks down, and they say, okay, we'll never be a successful band. And I said, oh, my God, this is ridiculous. I'm teasing you.
I know.
Steve, what were you going to say?
I was going to say, yeah, but Freddie Mercury legally changed his name. That was pretty awesome.
That was pretty cool. when he changed his name.
Yeah, I didn't know that much about his heritage. I didn't know about his parents and his background, so that was interesting.
So you got something out of it.
The music was fun. And I was really impressed with the songs they played. I liked their references to I'm in Love with My Car and how they didn't think that song was strong enough. And then I listened to them dialogue about that, and I thought, yeah, that really wasn't the best song. I love that song, but it wasn't Bohemian Rhapsody or some of the other anthems that they had on there, you know?
So. Isn't it interesting, though, that the Academy Awards, which was so stodgy for so long, would open the show with Queen? You think about the old days of the Academy Awards and who was there. I don't know that Queen would have worked for those people.
Bob Hope says, here's Queen. Can't imagine.
These guys are loud.
Wasn't David Niven on the stage when the streaker went by?
Yes, he was. Yeah. Yes, he was.
That was a good juxtaposition, wasn't it?
Niven, by the way, the biggest Queen fan you ever could meet. Loved Queen. That's all he talked about.
Well, I just heard you guys talking about this and mosey down the hall, so thanks for letting me wander
John.
In.
Nice to see you.
Sorry, Wendy.
No.
I respect your views and opinions.
I enjoy yours as well.
I know that, but I think we tend to internalize it. Like, if you don't like the movie I like, then it feels like a personal diss.
Sure.
And we do that a lot these days.
I don't do that. I think it's fine.
Don't you have a hard time? There are movies, Wendy and I have discussed this a couple times, where you'll see a movie and you'll love it, but you're still reluctant to recommend it to people because everybody's likes and dislikes are so different.
Yeah, there was a piece in the New Yorker not that long ago, and it was about this very issue. What was the movie? Oh, yeah, Green Book. I liked Green Book. Does that make me a bad person? Was the title of the movie, or was the title of the article.
Yeah.
And it was like, yeah, that's a pretty sanitized version of the 50s and 60s. And if you say, oh, that's a great movie, then you're doing a disservice to the history those people lived through.
Right.
And I understand that, but I'm like, yeah, but it was a really fun movie.
Yeah.
It was a good movie.
Sure.
Can't I just like this movie and you not judge me? And I'm trying to not do that.
What do you make of this? You just mentioned Free Solo, which is a documentary. My two favorite movies this year were both documentaries, and it's really strange because forever, there was always one in my top 10, but my two favorites
are...
Won't You Be My Neighbor?
That was fantastic.
The one about Mr. Rogers I thought was great, and Three Identical Strangers.
I saw that too.
You saw that one as well. The three triplets who didn't know that they had siblings until later in life. Those were the movies that I thought were the most effective for me all year long.
I would agree with you on both of those.
They're really good.
How about that? Yeah, good for you.
Oh.
Okay, I'm still leaving. Bye now.
All right, you, we'll hear you at 1.
Thank you.
That's John Williams. We'll take a quick break, and then there's a whole lot more show coming your way ahead. Wendy, John Williams came in during the break there with a correction. He was talking about the article that he said was in the New Yorker about if you like Green Book.
Does that make me a bad person or something along that?
Turns out it was in the Chicago Tribune, not the New Yorker. So if anyone's looking for it, Tribune's the way to go.
Thanks for saying that, because that would have bothered him the whole time until he got on the air.
I know.
To correct it. You got a present in the mail today.
I did. A very nice listener whose name I did not bring with me. Do you have it?
I don't have a name, but I have a card. It's, first of all, you were talking about, you go out to eat a lot, and you were enamored by the crummer.
Ever since I was a little kid, I marveled at that moment when a waiter or waitress pulls out a device from his or her pocket and just very neatly takes any crumbs and makes them into a very small pile. And I when that happens, I feel like that rich Uncle Pennybags on Monopoly.
Pennybags?
Is it Pennybags or Money Bags?
I don't know
what his name is.
I'm going to go with Bill on this one.
I'm not sure what his name is.
You know what? Go with Bill
all the time. I just know whenever I see a guy or a girl reach for that, I go, things are good. Everything's good. And they neatly dispose of any crumbs. I always, during that period, blame it on whoever I'm eating with. I always go, all these crumbs over here, it's from her, it's from him. It's not from me.
And it has to be a cloth tablecloth. I guess it would work on paper, but I don't think so. It's just kind of a U-shaped, elongated, like a nail file emery board type thing.
Right.
And you just kind of maneuver it where it picks up all the crumbs.
It's a miracle.
And this kitchen supply store, the First Ingredient, sent it with no letter or anything. It's just the First Ingredient kitchen supply, and they sent a bunch of them.
They sent some very nice ones. I'm assuming it's imitation gold, but they're gold-plated, which the next time I'm in a nice restaurant and a waiter or waitress reaches for theirs, I'll go,
It'll be like a gun duel.
It will be. It's the OK Corral. I'll go, let me get this one. You sit this one out. This is on me.
They sent six of them. Steve, would you like one? I will give you one of mine.
Oh, that's very generous of you. Yes, thank you. And then I'll re-gift it to you for Christmas.
Oh, that then worked out for
it.
Everybody.
I'm not wasting it. There's also a handy-dandy little
what I think of your Christmas gifts.
Pocket clip.
Yes.
So you can just, I would love it if you walked into a restaurant with the clip to your shirt
and show them at the front desk.
Look
just
what
go,
I have.
I'm prepared for anything that happens.
I'm here to help.
Yes. I won't do other tables, though, no. Steve. That's where I draw the line.
Right. Short staff, don't worry. We've got it covered.
No, I will stop at my own table, but I'm anxious now to use it.
Well, I'm going to the First Ingredient Kitchen Supply, and I'm going to buy more things.
All right, here's a quick question for you. Steve and I were discussing this before the show. The man who was in the iconic photo of the soldier kissing a nurse,
yes,
has passed away.
I heard that.
Here's my question. If that were to happen this year, like this was a long time ago, this was just after the ending of World War II. So what you have is a soldier walking up to a woman who is a perfect stranger, he's never met her before, and dipping her and kissing her, and then the photograph is taken, Eisenstadt, I believe, the photographer, and it makes national, it's everywhere. That picture has been around for years and years and years and years, and everybody goes, wow, what a crazy moment that was in United States history when a soldier could walk up to a woman he's never met before and dip her and kiss her. Wow. If that happened today, what would the reaction be?
That's an interesting question. I can only speak for myself. If it was, I don't know, for some reason, if it was someone in a uniform, I'd be like,
well,
all right.
That says
any
more
uniform?
About Wendy than we knew, I guess. Yeah.
So if a Cub Scout were to come up to you.
All right. Come on. You've just made it terrible.
No, it's a crime. It would be a crime.
It would be a crime.
It's sexual assault.
Right.
This woman did not know him. She didn't see him coming.
And she smiled. She didn't press charges or even. She got into it.
Right.
She's been interviewed and she said, yeah, it was definitely a surprise, but whatever. It was a happy moment.
I just don't know that if that same exact moment and photograph were to take place today, it would cause such a divide of people saying, well, he's obviously had the war is over and he came home and he needed to show that emotion. And then other people go, oh, no, you don't do that. He didn't know her. He didn't ask permission.
If it happened today, it would be very few people would accept it.
Although,
and here's my thing about that, Wendy, is I think we should remember this when we're applying other things that people did 50 years ago. You know how much our standards have changed.
Right,
it's hard to judge activity 50 years ago from where our beliefs are today.
Do you remember when Adrian Brody won an Academy Award and Halle Berry was on stage and he just kind of went up around her and gave her a gigantic kiss?
Yeah.
And that was about 10 years ago. And even 10 years ago, people were going, you don't just go up and kiss Halle. You got to ask Halle Berry's permission before you kiss Halle Berry.
I can't remember how she reacted.
She was like wide-eyed, like, wait, what? What just happened? You know?
I just, the time that this picture represents, and Steve, I guess you're right, we've moved forward, but it's just such an innocent thing that he did. It's like, oh my God, this is the greatest day.
Right.
Well,
but try to see that same innocent moment. And I agree with you. At the time, when things were less politically correct, it was exactly that. It was a soldier that could not contain his emotion.
Well, the World War II had just ended.
Right.
This is
right.
I'd let. You know, again, I'm not going to put myself in here because you'll all roll your eyes.
No.
No, I mean.
Why are there 10 Cub Scouts out there? Thanks, Bill.
Wow, that even got weirder.
Are any of them an Eagle Scout?
Oh, don't ask. You don't need to know that.
Wow, I shut both of you up with
that. Yeah, we're both
out on
that one.
I think we both shut ourselves up because of what we were thinking. I got nothing.
No, we're both tapped out, Wendy. You tap both of us out.
I just, it was so innocent and such a celebration.
It was then.
I was reading an interview from her today. She said he was probably drunk.
Yeah, I think that was, yes.
And so think of it. I mean, and you're right. It captured a wonderful moment, and it's an iconic. It's one of the most famous photos of the 21st century.
Without a doubt.
But we're just in such a different place now that if some guy who was clear or, you know, noticeably intoxicated went up on, you know, on State Street and grabbed a woman and bent her over and kissed her.
That would cause concern.
I also have to say that men probably wouldn't do that right now because men are probably even scared to be in a room alone with a woman anyway.
Right.
So times have changed both ways.
Right. Unless, as you pointed out, it's a man in uniform.
Well,
Ringmaster Ned.
You know, I watched the rest of their Bozo special.
Milk?
Shut up.
Wait, let's take a break and then tell us about what your thoughts
were. Did you watch the whole thing? Because I've watched the whole thing.
I still haven't seen all of it. I saw a bunch of it, but not all of it. All right, we'll discuss that and other things. Stick around. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN. Steve, thanks. It's Bill Leff. It's Wendy Snyder. On yesterday's show, we were talking about the special of Bozo Circus. They did a special Sunday night, Bozo Circus. I think it was called Bozo Circus in the 60s or something like that. Dean Richards was the host. And I said yesterday it was amazing how it was both fantastic and horrible at the exact same time. And I saw a friend of mine yesterday after the show, and he said, that's not nice. I loved it. Every moment I loved watching. But you realize that the things that you kind of enjoyed or put up with as a child don't always translate into adulthood. You know?
There was a lot of wackiness, and boy, they took a long time to deliver the funny.
Yeah.
I loved it as a kid. Watching it as an adult, it made me smile. It made my heart smile. I felt warm fuzzies.
Yes.
But there was one offensive moment in that show. And I'm kind of kidding.
What was it?
There was that acrobatic guy who was up on a trapeze.
Yeah.
And his white tights were tight.
And back
in that time, yeah, I shouldn't have been seeing what I was seeing.
Duty, 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 duty.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, some of the costuming was tighter than you'd need it to be.
Wow.
Yes.
And he had this amazing body. He was a gymnast, but I wouldn't have trusted. This really wasn't a circus. It was a set, and they had a trapeze hanging, and it would worry me that it wouldn't hold.
Right. Right.
I just know, you know, hanging plants that I've put up sometimes don't, you know, maintain that strength.
Do you remember when
do you ever spin the plants in the dirt?
Sometimes.
Yeah.
I put them in tight
leotards.
Mommy, what's that?
I just added that for fun. So sometimes when there would have acts like that one, you got to see up into the rafters.
Yeah, which was kind of cool.
Because as a kid, you went, this must be dangerous. I can see the rafters and that guy's religion.
Yeah, that was offensive to me.
Yeah.
Kind of kidding. But it really was for back in that time.
Right.
And I just love looking at the audience because really some of the moms are just kind of like, oh, God,
right.
I finally got the tickets and this is what I get for it.
Yep.
It was incredible. There was something that I kind of forgot, the Bozo's Big Top. That was a
prime
time. Oh,
that was the once a week show they did.
Yeah, they showed clips from that as well, where a kid would do the grand prize game, and then if they missed, their parent would do it.
Oh, I didn't remember that part of it.
You should watch the whole thing, and I believe they're replaying it again this Sunday at noon on WGN-TV, and I believe it's still available on WGNTV.com, or will be after Sunday. It was, oh my God, we got to talk to Mike. Hi, Mike, how are you? Did you watch the Bozo thing?
Yeah, I was back and forth watching it, but I know that the guy from the trapeze.
You do?
That you're talking about. Yeah, he was part of a family called the Amazing Austins, or the Flying Austins, and they're semi-claim to fame, at least when I knew the guy in the 80s, was that they were the act on the Bozo Circus show.
That was big back then.
Yeah, well, this guy was my health teacher at Triton College.
Oh, he was?
I went to Triton. Look at that. I could have met him in his leotard.
I know. That's why I said, oh, my God, this is some sort of weird vortex happening here.
And you do love a man in uniform, Wendy.
That's not a uniform.
No, I guess
not. A leotard is not a uniform.
No, maybe not. All right.
So he was your health teacher?
Yeah, and in the class they taught first aid and CPR, and it was me and some other dude. We were the only two guys in a class full of nurses.
Nice.
Yeah.
I saw that movie on pay-per-view years ago.
On TV?
Yeah, it was on TV.
Well, Mike.
Yeah, class full of nurses. I was in that.
He is quite an amazing Austin, I'll tell you that. I appreciate...
what's your opinion?
Mike, thanks for calling.
You know,
I will talk to you guys.
One thing that I don't think they really covered in the special, and I have not seen all of it. I saw about half, right? So I'm going to go back and watch the rest of it. But we forget here in Chicago because we were spoiled with Bob Bell and then later Joey DiAria and the spectacle that was Bozo Circus. But it was a franchise.
Blows my mind. I didn't know that till I was an adult.
Yeah. In different cities, depending on where you traveled, they would franchise it out. So Boston had a Bozo. Seattle had a Bozo. Detroit had a Bozo. Every city had their own Bozo. I think ours was the longest lasting and the last Bozo standing, I think.
But
he became the most famous one, but the guy who started it was Larry Harmon, whose name you would always see on those Bozo cartoons
because
do the voice. But I think he was the very first of the Bozos and then franchised it out. I think I've told you this. My parents were friends with the guy who was Detroit's Bozo. He would come and visit us every once in a while.
In costume?
He would not wear the costume. But it was really sad because he would try to be funny, and I think you needed the Bozo costume to pull that off. I was like a 3-year-old, 4-year-old kid, and he'd be doing bits. Like, he used to do a thing with, remember the first time you saw anybody do this thing where you take a balloon and you rub it on your shirt, and then you put it on the wall?
Yeah.
So he would do that with giant hand gestures. And I was 3, and I'm like, I've seen that before. I was bursting his Bozo bubble. Because he was so excited to show me a bit that he did on the Detroit Bozo Circus. And I just went, yeah.
So you were the original kid who said cram it, clown?
No, I did not say that. And I don't know that any kid actually. I
no,
think
that's an urban legend.
The most famous urban legend in the history of the world.
Vince, there was a moment as I was watching that Bozo was trying to send this cool piece of glass to his aunt. Do you remember that, Vince?
That was my favorite part of the entire show. He's wrapping up this thing that looks like a bong.
It totally looked like a bong.
And I remember it's the 60s, and it goes, yeah, I don't know what the heck this is, but I picked it up at Old Town.
Yes.
Yeah. And the entire band starts cracking up.
Right. He was playing to the band more than anybody.
And I'm like, oh, my God, there's a joke that took me 50 years to get.
And you knew when it was established that that was valuable glass that it would end with that thing being shattered, right?
Oh, yeah. Anytime there was glass, eggs.
Well,
plates.
Yeah. During that same scene, Vince, if you remember, Oliver was he had two dozen eggs in a box. Bozo wanted the box, so he said, "Hey, put those eggs somewhere." So
right.
Oliver put them in his pockets in his suit coat.
Of course.
So then Sandy comes and there's a fly flying around, and he hits him with the fly swatter, and there you get your busted eggs.
You know, it's so funny about that thing. Because I'm going, well, let him just deliver the eggs and bring the box back.
Right.
Goes, what's wrong with you? I'm like, what's wrong with you?
Clowns don't have common sense, Vince.
Right.
Thanks for sharing. Wasn't it good?
Yeah, I really enjoyed it.
Thank you, Vince.
This is a two-parter. Part number one, I would have loved to have sat in on the writers' meetings for Bozo Circus every afternoon. Because did anything ever get rejected? Did anyone ever throw out an idea that somebody went, that's preposterous. Nobody would believe that. Also, I'd love to know if any of the writers from Bozo Circus went on to write anything bigger than Bozo Circus. Like, did anyone take that as a stepping stone and head out to California, to Hollywood, and write episodes of any of our favorite TV shows after writing from Bozo Circus? I don't know the answers to that.
I don't either. And, I mean, I just was amazed. And it was good and bad. I mean, it brought back some awesome memories.
It wasn't even good and bad. It was fantastic and horrible.
Right.
Right?
You're right.
It was so both.
And just the grand prize game, I mean, really, as the little girl was going up to the line and getting ready to, bucket number two gave her those pantyhose.
Right.
And I'm thinking, you know, this is such a sexist gift because Ringmaster Ned, Mr. Ned, just said, here, you give this to your mother.
Right.
He's so over the
top.
Oh, my God.
Yes.
It was so awesomely great.
Yes.
Yet terribly bad.
Isn't that crazy?
Yes.
How could something be both? But it was both.
Please, if you have it and you haven't seen it, please watch it this Sunday at noon or find it, because it just really brings those warm fuzzies back.
There's so much you forgot, like the design of the set, you know, just how dated it all was. And I know I mentioned this before it ran, but when you were a kid and Ringmaster Ned said, and a cast of thousands, you bought that. You said there are thousands of people there. But
looks way bigger on TV than
really
it did
about
in real life.
I think 120 people. I think
it looked like 1,000.
It seemed like it. You said the Ringmaster Ned's not going to lie about the number of people there. It's a cast of thousands.
And I didn't realize how. I mean, I guess as I saw it, he just gets so exasperated
always
with Bozo, and
right.
I kind of had forgotten about
right.
that.
That was a running theme forever on
yeah.
the show. Was that Bozo had tried his nerves just a little too much.
Over the top, big top. That was yeah, Mr. Ned.
That's it. All right, we'll take a break and then more show. We're at 312-981-7200 if you want to call in or text in. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN. It's Bill Leff. It's Wendy Snyder. Can I tell you another memory that the show evoked? Now, they did not show this on Sunday's special, but as I'm watching it, I hadn't thought about this in years. So two children are picked to play the grand prize game.
Was it always
or the Bozo Buckets? The Bozo Buckets.
Oh yeah, I'm sorry, I said that wrong.
Bozo Buckets.
Wait, what's the grand prize game then?
Is the grand prize game at the very end? Wasn't it Bozo Buckets at about the 2/3 mark and grand prize game at the very end?
And what was the grand prize game? Hmm. Am I mixing it up with the grand prize march?
I thought the grand prize game was the Bozo Buckets.
That's what I thought.
Oh, that's the one and the same.
Yeah, I never heard of it called
maybe
Bozo Buckets.
Maybe it's the same. All right, so they do the magic arrows. And it usually took 6 or 7 times because a lot of times it landed on a mom.
Yeah.
That would happen over and over and over and over again. I don't know why they couldn't figure out the technology to make it just land on kids, but it was 1966. So, all right. So they finally get the two kids. Whenever Ringmaster Ned would interview the girl, and keep in mind it was the 60s, so half of the girls there's name were Katie. They were always yeah. named Katie. So every time Ringmaster Ned would say, "What's your name?" and she would say, "Katie," he would always say the same thing. Do you remember what he would say?
That's
he would
a pretty
have a big
name.
No, he would go, "Katie Cucumber," every single time. So much so that my brother and I are friends if we were all watching together. When she would say Katie, we would all say, "Katie Cucumber." He's going to say Katie Cucumber. And he did it every single time. It was always Katie Cucumber.
I don't remember that at all.
I don't know why that would make sense to him. You wouldn't name other kids after vegetables. You wouldn't just throw a vegetable at the end of their names. But for some reason, Katie always got the cucumber treatment.
Wow, that's the, yeah. Who was his writer? Bozo?
Somebody from the farm department, from the agricultural department, I would imagine.
We had a neighbor, Ed, who his mom called him Sandy, and I never really figured out why.
Was it because of Sandy the Clown?
He looked very much like
Sandy.
He did? Sans makeup, of course.
Yeah.
But as I'm looking at Oliver O. Oliver, which I loved Ray Rayner so much,
yeah,
I forgot how scary his makeup was. I was looking at it, and he had this really weird beak-like nose.
Yes.
And I know Bozo had a fake nose, too. I get that.
Yes.
But this was like a weird, like it
distended
wasn't.
Distended, almost.
Yeah, and it wasn't red. It was sort of like.
He'd been punched.
It was darker than the rest of his face.
Yeah.
And then it looked like he had two holes in his cheek.
Yeah. Now, I don't know if you've noticed this, but they had toned down his makeup as time went on. They gave him less makeup and a less kind of a gaudy jacket that he wore.
They toned him down a bit?
They toned him down. I think he was scaring kids. I got to be honest. I think kids were getting scared.
I just, you know, that brought back memories of when I was little. I thought, oh, my God, he has holes in his cheeks.
Right.
And I thought that again last night.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
I had to, like, pause it and look very closely. And I know it was makeup, but I didn't like his makeup. Sandy looked so sweet and cute.
Yes.
And I forgot he didn't talk.
Refused to talk.
Hmm.
Much like Harpo.
Yes.
He was very inspired by Harpo. Now, I don't know if they got into this or not, but do you remember this was part of Bozo Circus for a couple of years, Bozo's TV POW? You know what that is?
Sounds vaguely familiar.
All right. This was right about the time of the advent of video games. So they would play a game where you at home, they would pick your name out of the Bozo drum, and you'd play Bozo's TV POW. And somebody at Bozo Circus had a hand controller, and whenever the child at home would say POW, they would press it and shoot a projectile at something on a video screen. So you were remember the game Asteroids?
Yeah, I love it.
It was kind of like Asteroids. So the kid at home would just go like, POW. POW. And they would just, every
with
time
no
they heard
enthusiasm.
It, I was home going, do it like this. Pop, 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 pop. Just make it go fast so you'll hit the asteroid. But the kids at home were very lackadaisical.
I don't remember that.
Come on, Katie Cucumber, go faster.
And I don't remember Bozo's Big Top. That was prime time once a week.
Yeah, that would have been in the mid-60s. I don't think it was on for long. Maybe a couple of seasons. And it was kind of like the best of what they had done on Bozo's Circus that week. But it was in prime time. It was a nighttime show.
I don't remember watching that.
What about this? Did they show... There was a clown on Bozo's Circus for a year or two called Claude. Do you remember him?
Nope.
He seems to be forgotten in Bozo Circus lore for some reason. Maybe because he was just on for such a short period of time. But Claude was on, and he was the clown that, like, nobody really... He was just there.
I don't remember even hearing the name.
I think he was pre-Cookie. I think they tried him out to be the new... Because Cookie kind of replaced Oliver O'Oliver as the second banana clown, you know?
That's confusing.
So I think Claude was on in the interim, I think. But he is the most forgotten of all the clowns on Bozo Circus.
I don't even remember him.
Yeah.
Cookie, I remember the most.
Oh, yeah. Well, I think other than Bozo, he was probably there the longest, right? The longest tenured clown.
Again, some of these things you have said all throughout the course of today, like you're like, and the biggest Bozo in town.
Right.
I mean, it's just.
Right.
Just lovely things.
That's the terminology.
All right. We have a funny comedian that's going to be on the air with us. And I heard her on with Steve Cochran and just was laughing like crazy.
She would be. I know you've never seen Kathleen in a club, but she would be one of your all-time favorite comics. Kathleen Madigan. Very, very funny. She'll join us after the news. And then Rich Lankoff to talk about some legal issues. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN.
And coming up, the stories that matter with Steve Bertrand from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom.
Steve, thanks very much. It's Bill Leff. It's Wendy Snyder. Our guest is Kathleen Madigan, fine, fine comic, appearing at the Chicago Theater. Kathleen, that's a big deal. That's a big theater. What are you doing?
I know. That's what I said when they booked it. I'm like, hey, now, let's not go crazy. And I asked my mom and dad, I said, you know, it's the first time I'm doing the Chicago Theater, and they're in St. Louis. And I go, you guys going to come up? And my dad goes, not unless they move the Chicago Theater to Florida. No, your mother and I will.
What kind of attitude is that?
For the winter. I'm like, come on, you can fly up for the weekend. That's fine. That's fine.
But isn't it one of those places that you always know about and you say to yourself, well, you know who plays there is the professionals. The big names play there, and now you're headlining it.
Yeah, it's a little surreal. It really is. Like, you're like, oh, yeah, that's for, like, you know, superstar people. You know, Anita Baker, Seinfeld. And then there's the next level of us. Like, we're at theaters, but we're not at that theater.
Yeah.
Like, but Ron is there the night before. Ron White, my friend for 30 years. It's just strange that all of us really accomplished anything, really. When you think about us just
right.
Sitting in bars smoking cigarettes, I can't believe any of this. Like, I mean, we all started in Chicago at Zanies on Wells across the street from all the clubs around that corner, and we just drank at that bar literally till daylight.
Sure.
We would drink at that bar in Chicago till daylight.
Yep.
Yeah, it was great because all the comics would go there, the Second City guys would go there, and women, and we could all just hang out and drink all night long.
It's a good time for everybody.
Yeah, it was.
Are you still enjoying this? I was lucky enough to see you early on in your career, work with you once or twice, and I always said to myself, if she doesn't make it, something's very wrong, and now you've made it. So are you still enjoying it? I hope you are.
I'm having so much fun, and if you follow like my goofy Instagram and Twitter, like all those videos, it's why I still like the road. I mean, there's a million cities I've been to a million times, but now I like going to those because I have friends there. And then if it's new cities, I'm excited to go because it's new. I just like travel. I would travel anyway. I just happen to be able to get paid, which is great.
And Bill, that's kind of why you stopped doing stand-up, much to our disapproval, because you're very funny.
Oh, thank you.
But Bill didn't like hitting the road. You really, truly enjoy it, don't you?
Yeah, I get very bored. I said my sister had twins, and I went home to help her, and I signed up for 3 weeks that I would help her because she couldn't drive and all this stuff because of the Syrian, blah, blah, blah. And after about 2 weeks, I said, I just realized I haven't been in one place, doesn't matter where, I haven't been in one place for more than 2 weeks since I was 22
wow.
years old. My sister's like, that's why you're a freak. Like, do you get that? Do you understand how freakish that statement is, Kathleen? Even flight attendants can't say that. And I said, well, yeah. She goes, is this your way of telling me you're getting bored and leaving early? I said, I am getting a little bored with the repetition, but I'm not leaving early. I'm not going to go back on my word. I'm going to watch these girls for 3 weeks, and then I'm leaving.
Didn't you want to be a flight attendant? That, according to IMDb, which sometimes turns
No, that's actually true, yeah. But I lied about my height and said I was 5'2", and I'm not, and I'm 5'1½", and I got caught. I got caught at the bell. And then my gay guy friend goes, didn't you know to put lifts in your shoes? I go, no. How would I have known that? No. Yeah, it was too short, half inch. I mean, I don't even know if that's still the rule, but that TWA, that's how old I am. That was the rule.
You would think the smaller the better, because it's hard getting, you know, in and out of those aisle seats and stuff. You'd think smaller would be better.
I think I'm too short to help people with their luggage.
Maybe.
Probably the drawback.
Maybe.
But they haven't seen me throw luggage. I'm like, you didn't even give me a chance.
Well,
how do you think my luggage gets up there? Hello?
Yep, absolutely. As long as we're talking about height and abilities, talk about the basketball contest you won many years ago. I'm very impressed by this.
Well, I won the Missouri / Midwest hoop shoot championship, but there were two big caveats. One, I was only like 4'7", and two, I did it underhand, and I'm not embarrassed about that. And three, this is why if you're from the Midwest and you're from a big family, nobody's ever going to the Olympics, because it takes too much time. I remember saying to my parents, hey, man, I signed up for this basketball free throw deal, and I won, and we have to go to Kansas City. We're in St. Louis. You would have thought I said we have to go to Poland. I mean, they were like, well, I mean, what? Because there's nine of us total. So if one does one, we all kind of, because we were little, I mean, we were 10. You got to go, and then there's littler kids. Like, there would be no way. When you see these stories about Olympians, and like, the whole family, which means three people, got up and went to practice every morning. I'm like, well, that is a luxury. Because my parents didn't even know what sports we were in. More or less, like, facilitate them. They're like, oh, are you playing volleyball? You're kind of short for that. Yeah, I know. I signed up.
Do you think, Kathleen, that the Chicago Theater somehow got wind of you winning this contest and that led to you getting this booking?
It might have something to do with it. It's finally all come around, and I'm finally getting the accolades I should have for hitting 15 out of 15 under.
That's pretty good.
Come on.
That's pretty darn good.
What, was it a little tight set?
Well, you know, I still have the trophy to prove it, because when people don't believe me, I'm like, okay, well, I'll send you a picture of the trophy, and then you can apologize later. But,
I will.
You know, when all those years when Shaquille O'Neal couldn't make a free throw, I was literally screaming at the TV, underhand, just try it. There's nothing to be ashamed of.
No one in the NBA shoots that way, but why don't they? You're allowed to. There's no rule that says you can't.
No, you can, and there was a dude, because if you Google it, there was a dude who did it.
Who shot underhand.
And he scored a lot.
Yeah.
Yes, he did. Yeah. I don't remember his name, but yes, there was a guy.
I'm surprised more guys don't do it that way. You can do it. You almost get better balance in the throw if you do it underhand.
Yeah, but once you master it, I played high school basketball. Yeah. Once you master it, it's easier to just do it the right way.
Unless you're Shaquille O'Neal for some reason.
He cannot. They're called free throw.
Right.
They're supposed to come to you free.
Free points. Yeah, it's crazy. can we talk?
I think people are embarrassed by the form. I think,
maybe.
And I just had no. When you're 4'7", you have no shame. You're going to do what you got to do.
Kathleen, who have you worked with in all these years that you say to yourself, "This was somebody I idolized, and now I'm on the same stage as them"? Have there been a name or two like that?
Like as far as her initial stand up on Johnny Carson, I couldn't believe it. Like when I grew up and did comedy, I got to work with Roseanne. That was like, because her TV show back in the day, I mean, you know, it was like she was a star.
It was the best show on TV. I loved her.
And she's funny, and she's still funny. I mean, like, she'll still go down to the Comedy Magic Club in Hermosa in L.A. and do sets, and she's still funny. The jokes are good. They're funny jokes.
Do you think she'll rebound? Do you think we'll see her on TV ever again, or are those days over?
Yeah, I do, yeah. Now everything lasts a while, and then it goes away.
By the way, Rick Barry is the underhanded free throw player, thanks
Rick
to
Barry.
About 12 of our listeners.
Exactly.
Houston Rockets.
And he's opening for you at the Chicago Theater, correct?
I hope so. If he's around, he should come on down. I'll set up a basketball thing, and him and I could have a shoot-off.
That's a great way to close the show. You and Rick Barry shooting underhanded free throws.
That'd be great, right?
Who wouldn't love that? All right, so Roseanne was an idol you got to work with. Give me one more. Who's somebody else that you said, wow, I can't believe him and I or her and I on the same show?
I would say George Carlin and Gary Shandling.
Oh, two of the best.
Great choices.
Two of the best.
Yeah, I loved, I knew Gary better than I knew George, but to just be in the green room, it was always at the Comedy Magic Club in L.A. usually where those guys would wander down to do time, and then if sometimes I was the headliner, and they're like, do you care if I do time, which was so humble and sweet and obviously unnecessary for them to say, can I butt on your show? You should just have my show. I'll just get the salmon and sit in the back. This is crazy. So those kind of guys that were just smart and funny and nice people, like really fun to hang out with. Nice, nice people.
Isn't Gary Shandling one of those people that even though you know he's gone, when his name pops up somewhere, you catch yourself and you go, wait, he hasn't been, oh, you just forget.
Yeah, that was just the weirdest thing. Like, some aren't weird, sadly. You kind of see it coming.
You'd
like,
be Blake.
One of my best friends was John Panette. Well, we know John.
Oh, love him.
Yeah, you know, John was headed probably toward to hit a wall. We all know that,
yeah.
You know, but still when it happens, it's shocking. But Gary, I mean,
that came out of the blue.
Yeah, it was weird. Yeah, it was shocking that day. I was like, no, that can't be right.
Right.
You know, like, that's just some internet nonsense like that. No. And then I started texting. Right. And then I just started texting people that would know for real. And I was like, oh my God.
Did you get to see the documentary, the HBO documentary they did about Gary Shandling?
I haven't seen it yet. And then I think, I don't know that I want to see it yet, but I will watch it at some point. Yeah.
Yeah. It's a nice look inside his life. It really is.
Maybe you can find it.
I just have to decide, like, it's like one of those things where you're like, do I really want to be sad for 2 hours right now? You know what I mean? Like,
right.
I don't know. Yeah.
Maybe you can find it on Netflix next to Bothering Jesus, which is your special currently streaming. Did you like the little plug there?
I did. That was a good transition. That was an excellent transition. Yes, I have a special on Netflix. And if you pull it up, it will also tell you the movie that is most similar is the movie Leprechaun.
Oh,
so,
wow.
Right, which is... And that's a horror movie, in case you weren't paying attention, as I was not. Yeah.
What did they find in common with your special in the movie Leprechaun? What's the common denominator?
I don't have any idea. My brother said it's based on algorithms, and I said it's just blatant Irish racism.
Kathleen, I know you come from a very large family. Are there 7 kids in the family?
Yes, that's correct.
Is anyone else in show business except for you?
No,
just
but
you.
A few could be. There's 5 older kids, and then my parents had a mistake, and then a mistake to play with that mistake.
Oh.
So
they were good parents.
Yeah, because I said, why are you having another kid if you didn't mean to have this kid? Well, who's going to play with that kid? Not us. I'm like, oh, okay. I got it. That makes sense.
Do you recommend it? If somebody has a chance between a larger family and a smaller family, would you recommend to them go larger?
Go large. There's power in numbers.
Yes.
And you know, like, now I see, like, I have friends that, you know, 40s and 50s, and your parents are getting older. If you're an only child, that is all on you.
Yeah.
Pressure's
on. I'm looking for it. I need it. And you know what? If you have, like, 6 siblings, even if you hate 2, there's still 4 that you like.
What? Were there...
Those are good numbers.
Was there a lot of fighting going on? I have 2 boys. They're teenagers, and they fight, and then they get along, and then they fight. I can't imagine 6 or 7. Did you guys fight a lot?
Well, I didn't really fight with the boys. The boys fight amongst themselves. It seemed like a lot of pushing and shoving, and I just didn't get involved in any of that. I don't, you know, that's what they do, though. I mean, for
that's
a while.
Weird.
You
right.
know, and then they kind of grow out of it, and it's fine, but... It's a lot if you're going to be in charge of the 7. You know, we drove my mom to drink and smoke, and that's what got her through. Good for you.
Don't you think, though, that once you have more than, say, 3 or 4, your odds of having one that's kind of doofusy, they increase dramatically. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah, I'm just saying the more, it's like an army. The bigger your army, the odds are you're going to win. The more kids, the odds are you're going to have a couple winners.
Yeah, no, that's true.
I'm just saying you're playing an odds game here. And yeah. if you have to be involved in it, I'm very grateful that there's six other people. For even real life stuff, you know, if my mom or dad, they're sick or somebody needs help, we've got a whole army to pull on. It would suck if you're the only child. I mean, that is a lot of pressure.
Right.
It really is.
Right.
And I don't care about, like, my friend Chuck, he's like, yeah, but I got all the attention as a kid. I'm like, I don't want their attention. I don't know what kind of parents you had, but you know what? You fly over there, Jack and Vicky, and I'm flying over here. Don't you worry about what I'm doing.
Yeah. Yeah. I know in the past, Kathleen, you've worked overseas. You've done those USO tours. I don't know if you still, are you still involved in that, or is that something that you don't do anymore?
Yeah, no. I do them when they call.
Yeah.
Thankfully, I'd say thankfully, because Afghanistan and Iraq, the last ones I went on were getting kind of crazy. It's weird. They go through patterns where they're dangerous and then they're kind of safer, and then dangerous and kind of safer. So I haven't gotten a call in a few years. So. But I will always do it if they ask. I'll never say no.
That's so nice.
That is so nice. I mean, they're stuck there. Do you do a different show when it's for the troops?
Well, they told us we could do whatever we wanted, and there's no rules. But, yeah, I usually talk about this situation that we're presently in at that time, because they can't say it, because that would be, like, complaining. But
yeah.
I can say it, and then they can laugh at me saying it.
Oh,
so, yeah, I'll talk about, like, you know, if it's a crappy environment, or like the whole Missouri National Guard was there, and I'm like, well, this is great for them, but who's guarding Missouri? What if those people in Arkansas get an ideal and try to attack us? We need to back Arkansas back down into its place. Like, it really was weird that they're like, oh, you're the Missouri person, come meet the entire Missouri National Guard. I'm like, yeah, okay, that's nice. I want to meet them, but this is strange. Why are we all, you know, is anybody at home? What's the Mississippi floods? Come on, man.
I remember hearing you say years ago that when it came to the Civil War, you don't even know which side Missouri was on. You think they were just fighting amongst themselves.
Yeah, we would fight local. That was our wagon sticker. I really did. Even when you Google it,
yeah.
Like, was Missouri Union or Confederate, even the answer's confusing. Like, I've Googled it 100 times. Like, some cities were Confederate, and then within the state,
yeah.
They couldn't get very indecisive. Yeah, and we still are. They had a map of, like, who would take, I think it was Syrian refugees.
Yeah.
And then some states were blue, saying yes. Other states red, definitely not. Missouri was purple, which signified undecided. I'm like,
beautiful.
Guys, we still
decide,
can't make up our
decide.
Mind.
Kathleen, we have to run. I'm just really curious. I've heard so many comics that I love, that I respect, guys like Colin Quinn, Jerry Seinfeld, say, comedy's in trouble right now because of political correctness. Where do you stand on that? Do you think that's true or not true?
I don't agree with that. I think it's fine. I think as long as everybody's out there having a good time and laughing, everything, comedy's never gone away. It's never going to go away. Unless all of a sudden the world is taken over by unfun Germans, I think we're fine.
That's good news.
Congrats on the Chicago Theater. That's huge news. This Saturday, 8 p.m., to purchase tickets, just go to KathleenMadigan.com. Is that the best place to tell people you can?
Yeah, or I think Chicago Theater has a website too, but they'll figure it out. It's awesome. I'm so excited.
Oh,
I can't believe it. First thing I'm going to do is run out and take a picture of the marquee, because, you know, I could get hit by a bus on Sunday, and it only happened once. Check my Instagram. There'll be plenty of little videos.
We'll be watching.
Thanks, Kathleen. Have a great show on Sunday.
Right.
Great talking to you.
Okay, thanks, guys.
Kathleen Madigan. Again, the website is KathleenMadigan.com. You get your tickets there. We'll take a break, and then more of us, Bill and Wendy, on WGN.
I'm glad I don't have to vote.
It's contentious, Wendy.
Week from today, right?
Yeah, yes. Yes.
Do you feel left out? Because I kind of do.
Yeah, you and I don't live in the city.
We work in it.
Proper
or
improper.
We are here a lot.
Right, but we have no say in the mayoral election whatsoever.
I feel left out.
If you're a fan of stand-up comedies, again, thanks to Kathleen Madigan, KathleenMadigan.com, if you want some tickets for the show. She's doing Chicago Theater. If you're a fan of stand-up comedy, yesterday on the bonus hour on the Stream of Consciousness. We talked about the 30 best stand-up comedians of all time. There was a survey done by New Arena where they selected the 30 best stand-ups of all time. We got through half of the list yesterday. We will continue that today. So see if you agree with their choices or not.
Who made that list? Because I got to tell you, that's a crazy-ass list.
Some of them they nailed. Some of them that you would say to yourself, well, they have to be. How could a guy like him or a woman like her not be in the 30 best? But then there were a couple of choices that you disagreed with and that I disagreed with, and it'll get more interesting as we get toward the number
top.
One. Yeah, yeah. So we'll do that. We'll take a quick break, and then Rich Lankoff will be on. There's a lot of big stories in the news that he will comment on. That's coming
Lawsuit.
Up.
There's a lawsuit that the state is filing.
Yeah. Dave, thanks so much. It's Bill F. It's Wendy Snyder. Our friend Rich Lankoff, attorney at law, partner at Bryce Downey & Lankoff, LLC, is
show
here.
Show attorney. That's what I like
He's our
to
show
say.
Attorney, and you're here because Wendy and I want to sue Manny Machado. What do we have to do to get that done?
Let's do it.
Let's
Class
sue Manny
action.
Machado. Class action.
Who would want to go to San Diego over the South Side? Come on.
He's crazy.
Terrible.
He's making a huge mistake.
Agree.
Welcome to the show.
Thank
There's
you.
A lot of legal issues in the news, and who else would we turn to but you, Rich? Let's start out with what's going on with our emergency declaration. The president has announced that we're in an emergency mode, and now
declared
states are
declared an emergency,
yeah.
And he said, I don't need to do it, but I'm going to do it, and I think that came back to bite him in the butt, did it not?
Yeah, that few words is getting a lot of people to think that maybe that was an admission that he doesn't have the legal authority to declare an emergency. This comes down to the National Emergencies Act, which was a little-known statute from 1976 that was actually enacted by Congress to allow the president to declare a state of emergency for an emergency. Now, the question is, what's an emergency? Traditionally, this has been used to declare emergencies for things like natural disasters, humanitarian
right.
relief, things that we typically have seen as emergencies. The question, of course, ultimately for the Supreme Court will be whether Trump can use this statute to build the wall, to use federal dollars.
Where he can take from other programs that
right.
need it, right?
Correct.
Is that the problem?
Yeah, he's using Defense Department dollars, or he's proposing to use Defense Department dollars not authorized by Congress under the auspices of this National Emergencies Act to fund the wall. Politically, there's all sorts of reasons why you would question that. I mean, remember he said that this would be paid for by the Mexican government.
How's that going?
Not so well.
What's the update on that?
Yeah, Congress came up with this package where they gave him something like $1.67 billion for the wall. He thought that wasn't enough. So now the question legally will be whether the courts will find that the use of the statute is permissible. I personally think, and there's no answer to this because that's never been tested, I think they will defer to him. If you look at the decision in the travel ban, the Muslim travel ban, ultimately they defer to him. The statute does have language that defers to the president to declare or to decide what an emergency is.
So he basically can decide on his own. And I just 16 is 18 states that have
18 states, including Illinois.
Have jumped in to sue him from preventing this from happening. Are they going to win?
I don't think so. I mean, California, Illinois on Monday, as you mentioned, filed suit in the U.S. District Court for the Northern District of California trying to stop this. Again, I mean, as Trump himself said, this will go through the court system, ultimately the Supreme Court. Look at the makeup of the Supreme Court. That's very important. That's why, these elections matter. That's
yes,
why
vote.
These appointments matter. The court is now stacked, most would agree, in Trump's favor. I think ultimately you'll see a decision, probably 5-4 in favor of deferring to the president when it comes to the definition of what a national emergency is.
So, you know how sometimes they'll put something through the courts to eat up time? They know that they can waste some time in the courts. The longer it goes, it'll just eat up time. That's not the case here, though, right?
It's an emergency.
They would see that. They would say, it's been declared an emergency. We need to see this. We need to hear this case immediately. That's what would happen here?
Correct. It'll go through the system. It'll go through the lower courts. But ultimately, the Supreme Court will hear it, and they can hear it on an expedited basis. They have the ability, while they're sitting or sometimes while they're not sitting, to hear a case that warrants an expedited hearing. And certainly, listen, the Supreme Court likes to decide big issues, obviously. They like to decide issues of national importance that haven't been litigated or decided yet. this falls squarely in that in their wheelhouse, so they'll take it up fairly quickly.
So are you one of the people that falls under the bracket of people who said this was a campaign promise? The reason he's so adamant about this is it was his number one campaign promise, and if he's going forward with a re-election bid, he needs this on his side. Do you believe that
to be true? I've got a lot of thoughts personally, not legally. I mean, from my personal perspective, I think all he's doing is trying to rile up the base. I think, you know, he's using the word emergency the way he's used, you know, terms like build that wall and, you know,
finish that wall.
I mean, I think it's a easily digestible idea for his base and to demonize immigrants and to declare that emergency. Now, listen, I think there are objectively some arguments in his favor. You know, the fact that there are now troops, I think there's 4,000 troops guarding the wall, you know, these are military personnel that I think aligns with the idea that this is an emergency. Also, we've heard the, you know,
but they've been there for a long time. It's not like this is a new development.
They have. I mean, the question of whether this is an emergency, I think, really depends on what side of the issue you come from. Whether you think that the infiltration, according to the, you know, Trump administration of drugs, whether that qualifies as an emergency, many would think yes. You know, the fact that so many people are dying of opiate abuse in this country every year qualifies as an emergency.
It's not going to change once the wall's up. I mean, you look at the fact-checking, you look at things. That's my question. Where are the checks and balances in this? If it goes to the Supreme Court, isn't somebody, like, ready to step up and go, this isn't really an emergency?
That's a great point, and that's going to be the main point in the opponent's favor, that even though the language of this statute does give the president some deference, the idea of checks and balances inherent to the Constitution and expressly, you know, written in the Constitution is that the Congress is the one to fund these expenditures, not the president. And by going around Congress, he is going around the system with checks and balances. So I think that's what you mentioned, Wendy, is the number one factor in you know, that the states will use in arguing why this doesn't apply.
Yeah. Rich Lankoff is here. We're talking about legal issues. If you'd like to jump in with a question or a comment, 312-981-7200 is the way to get that done. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN. Our guest is Rich Lankoff, attorney at law, partner at Bryce Downey & Lankoff LLC, host of WGN Plus podcast, Legal Face-Off. There's other legal issues to discuss with you, but there's a question on the line that's just too good to pass up. Bill is on the line with a very, very important question. Bill, thanks so much for calling in. What is your question for Rich Lankoff?
I want to know why President Trump didn't do the emergency thing before he closed down the government and hurt all these people.
Great question.
That is,
Rich,
a good question.
Yeah, great question. Listen, this statute has been around since 1976.
Mm-hmm.
He knew about it. He's referenced it in the past. Remember, he's been talking about this other option he's had forever. So to answer your question, of course, it's political, right? The whole shutdown, in my opinion, was political. That was not, you know, had nothing to do with the substance of it. He waited to see if he could win that issue with the shutdown. He waited to see if he could get a deal from Congress. After both of those failed, he's pulling out this, you know, statute from 1976.
Well, thank you. That answers my
question. Thanks, Bill.
Oh, thank you, Bill. Another story that's been all over the news and taking us down various different twists and turns is the Jussie Smollett situation. I don't even know what to call it right now.
Hoax, maybe? That's what some people are calling it.
That's what it appears to be. Do we know for a fact yet?
We don't know. We know that, you know, as of today, the Chicago Police Department have said that he is neither a suspect nor a victim. So that certainly, you know, disqualifies a lot of his story. You know, of course, we are now learning from the two alleged perpetrators. They have now said that they were paid by him to stage this.
Why are we to believe them?
Sure. Well, who knows?
I don't know anything.
Yeah. Well, we do know that he allegedly was upset that this letter he received, this allegedly racist letter, was not taken seriously. So the story goes that he then made up this attack to draw more attention to it. You say it and it makes no sense to any logical person why you would do this. But from a legal perspective, you know, he certainly faces some exposure if he lied to police. In Illinois, if you lie to the police, you could be guilty of either disorderly conduct. It falls under disorderly conduct, which is a misdemeanor punishable for up to a year, or obstruction of justice, which
meaning
is a more...
Meaning he would serve jail time for up to a year.
That's he could. I mean, those are rarely prosecuted by the state's attorney, but listen... this is a black eye on Chicago, right? It got a lot of attention across the world. And if I was a prosecutor and I was the police department, especially, you know, with a mayoral election a week away,
yeah,
I would certainly prosecute this because you want to send the message that not only will we not tolerate this kind of hoax, but this is not the way Chicago is. We don't put nooses around people and attack them. So I would have every incentive if I was Kim Fox to pursue this. And again, it could be a misdemeanor or it could be a felony, obstruction of justice, which is punishable by, you know, a lot longer, up to 3 years.
I don't see him doing jail, but that's just me.
I think in the court of public opinion, he's going to fare pretty poorly if this is proved to be a hoax, right? I mean, Empire's already said they're scaling back on his role. Can't imagine this guy's going to have a career after, if this is all true.
Trevor Noah said last night on The Daily Show that he should win an Emmy Award for his portrayal on Good Morning America.
Robin Roberts, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
How can somebody go on that show and fabricate stuff? I know we don't know that yet. When will this be put to rest?
Who
when
knows?
Are we going
to
know
the investigation
truth?
Continues. You know, there's no timeline on these things. I think, you know, they have to obviously take their time and investigate. They already have, though. Obviously, this has been a big priority case. They've looked at all the surveillance film. There's been no surveillance. You know, that's one of the most surveilled parts of the city.
Yes.
It's Gold Coast, Streeterville. You know, there's cameras everywhere.
Right.
So the fact that there was nothing caught on camera, I think, is a big indicator of, you know, doubting the veracity of the story. But to answer your question, who knows? It'll take as long as it takes.
You know what's strange is, and Ryan Burrow was in yesterday because he was covering this, not just for our station, but for ABC News nationwide. From the very beginning when they reported this, they kept saying alleged attack. They never, like usually when something like this happens, they say an attack. This time it was always carefully worded, so they'd say alleged attack.
Yeah, I think the reason from day one, the CPD, you know, indicated that there was questions about it, right? I mean,
yeah.
I think anytime there's a high-profile case involving an actor, involving someone who's a prominent member of the LGBT community, which Smollett is, and you're dealing with a hate crime involving putting a noose around someone's neck, they're going to pay some attention to that. Why? Because you don't want that image out there. If it's true, obviously you want to, you know, put that out. But if it's not true,
right.
I think early on they determined that there was questions about it. That's why everything we got from CPD was, you know, it was an alleged crime. So I think that's the reason for
it. Yeah. Another celebrity in the news with Chicago ties is R. Kelly. Where do things stand with R. Kelly right now?
There's one report from CNN. It's been, you know, not verified, but that there is a grand jury currently in Chicago meeting to determine whether to proceed with charges against R. Kelly. This is in the wake of Michael Avenatti, who is back in the news.
Yeah.
You know, we know him from the Stormy Daniels case. He, over the weekend, tweeted about a videotape that was released. Actually, you know, many media sources have seen it. And the videotape shows a woman. It's not clear how old she is, although there is discussion on the tape about her being 14 years old. I mean, there's actual discussion about her privates being 14. I mean, tawdry stuff, but that's the discussion on the tape.
Yeah.
So Michael Avenatti puts out this tape. It purports to show R. Kelly having sex with an underage woman, which is his M.O., right? He wasn't convicted of it, but that's the allegations in light of the Lifetime documentary.
Yes.
And allegedly, again, only I think one media source has confirmed, CNN, or alleged that there is a grand jury currently meeting to determine whether to proceed with charges against him. Those are secret. The state's attorney has come out and said, we don't, you know, we're not confirming that. His attorney, R. Kelly's attorney, has said he doesn't know anything about it, but certainly there's enough evidence to proceed with a grand jury.
How has it taken this long? It's over a decade that these allegations have been floating out there. Why is he walking around as a free man?
Yeah, well, of course, he was charged with this many years ago, and he was acquitted. The trial took 6 years, and he was acquitted. And in the wake of this Lifetime, I think it's called Surviving R. Kelly,
yeah,
this Lifetime documentary, Kim Fox said if there's any alleged victims or there's any victims, come forward. You know, as you know, it frequently takes a long time. We saw this in the Cosby case and many sexual assault cases for victims to come forward. You know, they don't want the publicity. They don't want, you know, they're frequently very embarrassed and ashamed, understandably so. So it frequently takes many, many years for people to come forward.
I understand them not wanting the publicity, but the balancing act is you say to yourself, but I could prevent this from happening to other people. You would just think the common sense would ring out on that, wouldn't you?
Of course, but, you know, it's hard to put yourself into the position of a victim of sexual abuse, especially for underage, you know. Victims who inherently don't have the applicable consent, requisite consent under the law. So, you know, it's understandable how someone who was assaulted when they were 13 would be reluctant to come forward, I think.
I guess so. That's Rich Lankov. The next episode of Legal Face-Off is when?
We will be releasing our next episode next week. The current episode, including an interview with mayoral hopeful Bob Fioretti, is
Are you ready, Fioretti?
Am I ready?
Are you ready for Guy Fieri?
Let me get ready. Is it Fieri or Fioretti?
Are you ready for spaghetti?
Is it Fieri?
It's Fieri.
It's not Guy Fieri running for mayor.
No, he's not running
for
mayor.
He might win if he ran, maybe.
Maybe he would. All right. Listen to Rich on Legal Face-Off, or if you need his help, he's an attorney. He's a partner over at Bryce Downey & Lankoff, LLC.
Thank you so much, Rich.
Thank you.
We'll close things off in just a little bit.
And coming up, the stories that matter with Dave Schwann from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom.